Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, a national economist with some interesting perspectives. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, today we're going to be talking to UNR professor Brad Schiller about class warfare and Occupy Wall Street.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Sean McGinnis, Chip Evans, and Robert Eidhoven. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Get in the holiday race for cash this November at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $20,000 in cash every week. It's your place to play and win. The Holiday Race for Cash, only at the Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Get in the holiday race for cash this November at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $20,000 in cash every week. It's your place to play and win. The Holiday Race for Cash, only at the Carson Valley Inn.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome to the program Bradley Schiller. He is the professor of economics at UNR, frequent writer for the Wall Street Journal, and the author of the book, worldwide book, The Economy Today. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks very much, Sam.
Class warfare, how do you define it?
Well, class warfare has become sort of the mantra of the Obama administration, and it spawned the Occupy Wall Street movement. There's a lot of frustration in this country, obviously, with a recession that seems to linger on and on. We're still talking about 13 million people who are unemployed. Students are coming out of school and they can't find jobs. It's a very depressing, discouraging situation. And people see what's going on in Washington, D.C. They're very unhappy. They're feeling totally disenfranchised. There's nothing we can do about it. And I think that spawns the protest movement, which has got important roots. But then you need a target on a protest movement. And so they've singled out the banks, as President Obama did when he was first elected. He blamed the recession on the bankers, chastised them publicly, talked about the greedy capitalists on Wall Street. So they're a convenient target. So and now it's been made 99% of us against the 1% of them who control the economy, pull all the strings, a bankroll their favorite political candidate so that they're always protected. But the reality is that 1%. Are really people who've been entrepreneurial successes. And so what I did in this latest article is look at the Forbes 400. The Forbes magazine identifies the 400 richest people in the country every year. And so these are the very top of the 1%. It's like 1,000th of 1%. I mean, the very creme de la creme of the super rich in this country. So I looked and said, well, who's really the enemy here? Who's on that 1% list? And the first thing, of course, I noticed was Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, who started out in a garage tinkering, putting together the first Apple I back in 1975, and has since revolutionized the consumer electronics products. And the irony, of course, is a lot of the OWS protesters and campers are using iPads and iPhones to communicate. Are they really protesting against Steve Jobs? I mean, is he the problem?
But don't you think, and there's part of me that agrees with why these people are there on Wall Street. When I look at banks and hedge fund managers who are making insane amounts of money, while the people who invest in those hedge funds or invest in those banks have seen their revenue decline, and these people are still making a tremendous amount of money. It doesn't seem like we have that private sector connection with you get paid based on your success as opposed to just being there.
Well, I mean, there's some highly publicized but isolated cases in the banking industry. The banking industry has shed tens of thousands of workers. The average banker doesn't make that much money. Of course, there's some CEOs, the head of J.P. Morgan, et cetera, that have,
well,
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are government entities. And, you know, I don't know if we have the time to go into the whole discussion of it, but, you know, it's convenient for the politicians in Washington to point their fingers at Wall Street and the bankers. But a lot of the problems we had before 2008 and we continue to have originated with Fannie and Freddie and policy decisions made in Washington, D.C. If you talk to the bankers, they say government regulation is the thing that's really holding their lending activity back and holding the economy back.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, I was born and raised in England. Now, you want to talk about class and class warfare. I experienced that growing up as a child. I came to this country because this country is the country of opportunity, that anybody who comes here is prepared to work hard has a good shot at succeeding, and I may be an example of that. So from a class warfare thing, it seems to me more like a political idea rather than an actual idea.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's what makes America both unique and so successful economically around the world, is that we're characterized by high rates of mobility. Rags to riches, Horatio Alger stories are still very much part of the American landscape. I mean, some of the pundits on the left say the American dream is dead.
And it's nonsense.
It is nonsense. And it's because they never had the determination, the vision, the grit to go out and try to make the American dream a reality.
The desperation. The people will suffer all kinds of indignities to get to this country, whether it's going through a very hot desert or whether it's coming from Vietnam in shallow boats to get to this country. I mean, people come here because there is opportunity, and there still is opportunity.
Right. And in fact, I've done several national and longitudinal studies, which means we look at the same people over a long period of time, and what we discover is people move up and down the income distribution all the time. Just going back to that Forbes 400 list, I mean, the number of people who started off with the most modest beginnings. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, everybody knows Oprah. I mean, she was a welfare queen in her early days, and then she became the queen of TV. This is not unusual. You got Howard Schultz from Starbucks. You got Mark Zuckerberg and four others from Facebook. You got the Google entrepreneurs. These are people who suddenly had a vision, an idea. They stuck with it. They got financing, and suddenly they're on the list of the richest people in America. They're part of the 1%.
Now,
we don't want to protest against those people. They're what make the economy continue to produce good products, good jobs.
You've taught a class at the University of Nevada called Winners and Losers, where you look at some of these people who had great successes. And talking about the people on the Forbes 400 list, is there a common thread with these people that makes them successful?
Well, first of all, I'd say there's no magic formula. You know, you can't have A, B, and C and be assured success. But there are common characteristics. First is vision. They know what they want to do. They know what kind of product they want to invent, what service they want to deliver. Determination, true grit in the best possible sense of the word. They're going to work at this vision. And repeated failures. I mean, one of the ironies is some of these most successful people have a string of failures. Failure seems to be the breeding ground for success. They learn what didn't work and then they move ahead. You know, as soon as somebody makes it, you know, on TV or in the movies or in the consumer electronics, everybody assumes, oh, that just came out of nowhere. But these people have toiled for years to get to that point and actually achieve the success.
All right,
that entrepreneurial zest.
Okay, as an entrepreneur, I have to take a break because we have to make some money. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
The Greenhouse Project, a Nevada nonprofit whose mission is to establish and sustainably operate a community-based greenhouse to supply food for those in need, will host a celebrity chef dinner on Monday, November 14th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Adele's Restaurant in Carson City. A sumptuous six-course wine pair dinner will be prepared by Chef Charlie Abaud from Adele's and guest chef Mylon Schmidt from Coco Dolce. Tickets are $200 per person, available exclusively at Adele's.
Technology make our lives better. Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brad Schiller. He's a professor of economics at UNR, frequent columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Confidence is something that is so important in the business and financial world. And we have a crisis of confidence in this country. The media continues to talk about potential for a double-dip recession. Have we ever gotten out of this recession? Isn't the reality that in good economies, some people fail, and in bad economies, some people make money, and that if you have confidence in who you are and what your product is, that you have the potential, even at this day, to be successful?
Well, true. Confidence is an enormously important factor in both the performance of the overall economy and in individual firms. And it's also true that in any economic situation, there's some people who are failing and some people are succeeding. Going back to this talk about a double-dip recession, I don't think there's any remote possibility of that at this point. The economy has been growing.
So that's good news right there.
Very good news. But the economy is growing at such a sluggish pace that the economic growth doesn't reach Main Street. I mean, we still have 9% unemployment in this country. We started when President Obama was elected with 7.6% unemployment. And a lot of the disillusionment, the sense of disenfranchisement, comes from the early promises that President Obama made. When he pushed through his original $900 billion stimulus program, he was very explicit. He said the unemployment rate, then at 7.6%, would not go above 8%, and we'd have full employment in this country within 3 years. Well, it didn't happen. It didn't even come close to happening. It's hard to defend President Obama's program when you just look at what was promised and what actually happened. And so it's convenient to try to, you know, shed the blame, push the blame onto somebody else, the bankers, the greedy capitalists, and so on, that actually make the economy run.
Adding on to what Sam said about confidence, is it a lack of confidence in our government and the ability to get things done in Washington that would help grow the economy or stop them from doing stupid things like, you know, maybe nationalizing 15% of our economy with health care? Right. How big of a part does the lack of confidence in our government play in the economy being sluggish?
Well, I think right now the lack of confidence in the ability of the government to manage the economy is probably the biggest thing holding back investment and holding back consumer spending.
Because there are companies like Apple, for example, sitting on $40 billion that they're not spending.
They're up to $85 billion in the bank.
Is it 85?
Okay, they have more cash than U.S. Treasury.
So they could come into Nevada and solve all of our financial problems, not even bat an eyelid, and yet they are sitting on the sidelines because they do not have the confidence in where the government is going, what kind of regulation, what kind of taxation that we're going to see.
Well, I think the bigger problem is the companies that normally have to go out into the bond market or to the banks and borrow money to make investments in new factories and new equipment and so on. That's not occurring at the pace it should. You look at all the other recessions that we've had in this country, and we've had a dozen since World War II, we've come out of these recessions much stronger. So the problem isn't that we had yet another recession. The problem is we haven't had the policies in place to grow this economy as fast as it should. And people have simply lost confidence. And again, that's part of the motivation for the OWS movement. They just don't have confidence. They feel they're helpless. Nobody is taking care of Main Street.
You know, looking at the economy on a state level, Governor Sandoval, when he came in there, he said, I want to grow the economy. I want to create private sector jobs. I want to diversify the economy. I want to create some stability in the regulatory process by not implementing new regulations for a year and not increasing taxes on Nevada citizens during this recession. Is that the kind of policy that he's implementing here, he's implemented here, that will help Nevada out of this doldrum that we're in?
Well, those are the kinds of policies and perspectives that will help any state. But the reality is that no governor has the power to grow the economy. Nevada's economic future depends on the growth of the U.S. economy. I mean, we're still very dependent on tourism. And so Californians got to have more jobs and higher wages so they'll come to Nevada to enjoy themselves. We want people from all over to come to Nevada and enjoy the state. That means they've got to have jobs over there. So, I mean, what he's doing is definitely helpful to the state, but the state is going to depend on the growth of the national economy.
As you look at the indicators in the Silver State, for example, mining obviously booming. I mean, booming to the point that they're digging up dirt that they wouldn't have touched in 150 years.
Right.
You look at the average daily room rates in Las Vegas, the resort fees that are being added on, the highest number of taxis being used in the last month in years, convention business booked out for the next 2 years. Why do you think that is being ignored? Because even Jim Mirren from MGM said that we are coming off the bottom, that the recession is ending for us.
Well, I mean, the recession has ended nationally, and it's just a question of how fast we're growing. And some sectors are growing very well, including the two you mentioned. But let's remember how dependent Nevada was on the construction industry and northern Nevada on tourism. And that they haven't come back. I mean, the housing industry is still greatly depressed. And so until we see a pickup there. But I think there's a lot of other things that we can do in Nevada.
And we have to hold that for another time.
Yeah.
Please come back soon. Really appreciate you being on the program. You're a great guest.
All right. Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Silky soft carpet and the most refreshing stain and odor protection available. That's new Resista Refresh from Carpet One Floor and Home. Only Resista Refresh offers advanced stain protection that's guaranteed to repel food, beverages, and Plus, it works non-stop to neutralize odors in your home. It's sniffably refreshing. Now, buy 1 foot of select Resista Refresh, get one free.
At Giant Carpet One, the one store for your perfect floor.
Discover the magic of Tony Award winner Peter Pan, appearing in the Eldorado showroom. Call 786-5700 for tickets today.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Hey, Todd. Where's our sub?
I've already given my sub to Sally.
Sally?
Hey, Samantha.
How could you?
Get your own Subway steak melt like the irresistible Big Philly cheesesteak. Subway, eat fresh.
Check out the all-new MyNews4.com today.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
have back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great power pundit panel. As always, Robert Eidhoven is here with a new title. He is Government Affairs with Kosar and Latham. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks,
congratulations on your new gig. Chip Evans is former chair of the Washoe Dems. And Sean McGinnis, attorney with Lewis and Rocha. Pleasure to have you all here. Wanted to start out with a couple of headlines. Glenn Cook and the RJ last weekend writing, Dina driving Democrats to drink. And that's because of the battle between her and Reuben Kewin for the congressional district one. Your thoughts on this and how this is going to play out? Because, I mean, she was on this program a couple of months ago, and I asked her if whoever she was up against was going to be in for the same thing that Jim Gibson took. She just nodded her head and said yes. That was pretty ugly.
You would think that Harry Reid and the National Democrats would know Dina better, you know, than that by now, that they can talk her out of a race or into a different district. She's very good at primaries. The base loves her. They don't know Reuben Kewin that well. I know that they like the idea that he's new, he's young, he's the exciting guy. He fits a demographic of that district that they're going after. But, you know, I think Dina Titus, just looking at her past history, no one's going to talk, no power broker's going to talk her in or out of anything. She does things her way, and she's, overall, she's done a pretty good job at it. I mean, becoming the nominee in 06 for governor, you know, people thought when Jim Gibson got in that race, not only was he going to be the nominee, but that he would be the next governor. She scared Richard Perkins, who was the Speaker of the Assembly at the time, out of the race. You know, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy reading those kind of articles.
Chip, Democrats have reason to be concerned here. I mean, the Hispanic vote, the Latino vote is very important to the Democratic Party to try and get that locked up. Mm-hmm. And here's Dina going to be throwing hand grenades.
Well, it's that aspect of it is problematic. Certainly every campaign in Nevada, from all the national points down to the local points, will be relying heavily on the Hispanic vote. Reuben's certainly got a story to tell.
Really? What's his story?
Well,
because it doesn't seem to be very thick right now.
Well,
whereas Dina has this.
Yes, as far as historic or whatever, but he's.
For the folks on the radio, is putting my hands wide apart.
Yeah. No, I think he's identified quickly with that community, and they're aware of him. He was around up here in northern Nevada quite a bit during the last election cycle in the Hispanic community. So he's got his feet on the ground. People know him.
Well, so did Joe Frazier, but Muhammad Ali knocked him out. I go, hey, John.
Too soon.
Yeah, Sammy.
Well, my thought on it is it's interesting because if you look at it, we're actually going to see playing out in the Democratic side sort of what you saw playing out in the Republican field with this last senatorial race. You're going to see, you know, the hand grenades, just like you said, going in there. It's going to be fascinating who comes out, and whoever comes out, are they going to be not bloodied up and bludgeoned to death?
And, you know, back to Reuben, we have a president in the White House, you know, today, who people said didn't have much of a experience and was the new guy. No one really gave him much credit. Reuben Kewin, I will say this about him, probably 7 or 8 legitimate candidates on the Democratic side running for the White House in 2008. They all went to Reuben. They all wanted to go knock on doors in his neighborhood. He became a star, not because of anything he did in the state senate, because he really didn't do anything in
Senate. He did pass a bill making it illegal to steal free newspapers, so everybody forgets that.
But whether it was Chris Dodd, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, they all wanted to go to Reuben Kewin's district in 2007 and 8, leading into the Democrats' caucus then. And he became a rising star at that point.
Yeah, and both these candidates have a base to work from. It'll be interesting to see how the activists sort themselves, you know, not just the occasional voters, but, the, you know, the people that work the streets. Both of them have a lot of exposure to Dina and a history with her, and yet they also...
Dina's negatives, and I mean, Dina does have negatives. I mean, she beat Jim Gibbons beat her after he was accused of attempting to rape somebody. Gibbons still was able to beat her 2 weeks later. Do you think her negatives are going to pull her down enough for Kewin to be able to come in and just take her out, hitting her with the same force that she's going to hit him with?
You know, I keep thinking there's a fresh number of folks that are going to be coming to the polls this time. May not be a large group. I don't know what the turnout's going to look like at the end of it all. But I think
the negatives that existed back then, and it's just kind of old history.
Sean, let me ask you about this. Interesting story from Anjanette Damon, who reports for News 3, News 4, and the Las Vegas Sun. The headline for her story is, "First Shot Fired at Titus, She's Too Conservative." And that's because of some of the positions that she was forced to take because she was going to be in a tough race with Joe Heck. Your thoughts on that?
Well, once again, we're seeing this whole extremist playing to the base element where you're basically, people get boxed in by every position. So it is fascinating that you're beginning to see that initial volley going out against Dina for that. And she does have negatives. I mean, you look back at the electoral history, it's been very, very, very up and down for her. You know, she has successes, then she'll have the failures. I think for the Democrats, the key is going to be to maybe not make this so ugly. And this goes back to the first thing you mentioned, Sam, is that if they bloody each other up too much, they're going to be damaged going into the general election.
But isn't that district so Democratic that it doesn't really matter?
Well, I was just going to say, since Nevada's third congressional district was created, whether it was John Porter holding it or Dina Titus, they did have to be very careful. John Porter, recall, was even criticized from the right for voting a little bit too left on things because he was looking at a district that was evenly split. Dina Titus, I think, was careful when she served her one term in the House because she knew that half the people in her district were Republican.
Okay, 10 seconds each. What's Senator Reid's position on all this?
He would like there to be no primaries in the Democratic Party, and typically he's been able to provide that, and when Dina Titus has blown that up, she's usually won those primaries.
Jeff?
I think he's going to step away from this one and let it play out in the primary.
Sean?
I think he'll step back.
Paul?
I think he's going to put all his weight behind Kuhn, although quietly.
And that's where you got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back after the Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Injuries on the job change your life. Get back on your feet with answers you need. Loud and loud, good news in bad times.
Ah, you can't smell it right now, but you will the minute you walk into Asian Noodles Hot Pot Fondue. Bring your friends and experience Reno's only Asian Hot Pot Fondue restaurant. Here's how it works. First, you choose your favorite soup base, and then you choose from a huge selection of sliced meats, seafood, and vegetables. That's when your imagination takes over as you cook up your selections right at your table in any combination. It's great food and a great time with your friends. Asian Noodle Hot Pot Fondue is in the Costco Shopping Center on Plum Lane in Reno.
We're in the lab today to denounce the rubber check theory. Checks written on paper simply cannot bounce, no matter how low your bank balance.
When your account balance is low and your expenses are high, it may be tempting to write one of these rubber checks.
Gotcha! A cash advance from Check City costs so much less.
Get started online or in store at Check City. Fast, easy, less expensive.
Stop it.
We really needed to update our bathroom.
But we thought it would be expensive.
Not to mention the mess and horror stories we heard from our neighbors. So we called Bath Planet. They came to our home on time and designed a beautiful custom solution for us.
Our new bathroom was installed in just one day.
And they left no mess. Bath Planet is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So if you want a great bathroom and great service,
that's affordable,
call Bath Planet today.
Call 888-9-BATH-PLANET.
I'm Joe Laub of Laub & Laub. Walk in Wednesday without an appointment. Call today, get in today. Get your worker injury answers free and fast. Walk in, call, or email. Real answers right now. Laub & Laub.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Intermountain West CEO, president, and owner, and former chancellor, Jim Rogers.
We'll see you on the next broadcast.